Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Adam Pinkney of the AP Course. Once again, we're having our guest Steve Mayo, Town Administrator for Wakefield, and Anthony should be joining me in just a second. Sorry, on my end, there was a little bit of a hiccup with the actual setup for tonight's episode, but we're all good here. Hopefully Steve and Anthony will join us. So we're basically going to be going over a town meeting again on Monday. Steve obviously is town administrator. I'm sure has tons of opinions that he just wants to share, that he's just bursting at the seams to say one thing or another, or he'll take the high road and tell us that he has nothing to say. But I believe I have both my co-host and our special guest on. Are you guys connected? Hear me?
I am in. Good? Steve is in.
I'm in, Adam. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, unfortunately. Well, fortunately. I don't know. But did you guys want to just get right into it? Because obviously we only have 28 minutes left to talk.
No. Sure. Absolutely. We had a fun conversation yesterday with John Locke. I think we disagreed.
I listened to your conversation. I'm one of your fans.
So we have
and, I am very close to you, Anthony.
Well, thank you. No, so well, let's get right into that then, because I think.
Can
I
just
John
say
Locke.
One thing? Can I just say one
yeah.
thing first before we get into that, if you don't mind? Adam, is it
sure.
okay?
Yeah, no, totally fine.
We're going to town meeting, Monday night. You know, in May, we made a great leap forward as a community in planning how we're going to fund our school budget. School department received a needed big bump in their budget to put in some great programs, and we're going to finish the funding part of this Monday night, and we're going to use $3 million of our reserves. And part of that is for the snow, the horrible winter. $1 million of it is for the horrible winter. So we're gonna use our reserves. We're still gonna have the highest reserves of most people around, AAA bond rating, and that's not a big story. So now that I've got that off my chest, let's get into.
Well,
we can get
actually,
into
just to jump on this because I do want to stress, and you know, Steve, I think me and you have talked about this before. At the end of the day, if you go to bed at night and your biggest worries are things like the things we're talking about, if it is assisted living facilities, if it is zoning regulations, or fighting for a new school, that's really good. I mean, that's what you want your town problems to be. You know, I'm not trying to say Wakefield's perfect by any means. But,
right. No.
You know, we're a lot better than a lot of other communities who are facing a lot more serious issues, from the opiate crisis to a variety of different things, and we don't have those problems in Wakefield. You know, we get,
we do have an opiate crisis here. We have it like everybody else, but I get what you mean.
No, it's true. So with that said, let's get to, which we should totally do a show about, but now that I think about it, but let's get to Article 9, because I do, I'm of the position that, a town can steer an economy. I don't like the idea of paying, $500,000 or around that to move into a single family home or even a multifamily home to buy, I live in a condo now, buying a condo. And being at risk of having a new neighbor every month, that bothers me. That's not what I paid to, if I wanted that, I'll move to Conway, New Hampshire or Hampton Beach. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that we are all struggling with this, what I said at the planning board meeting the other night, what didn't get covered in the press, was that we're trying to really walk a tightrope on this. There is a new burgeoning economy based on using technology, and people can jump into the business. And I get that, and I would hate to think that Wakefield would not want to be part of that because there is a greater good in the economy here. However, it still needs to come with some rules and some regulations and some input from those that are affected in the neighborhoods, and that's what the special permit process will bring. It will. And I get it. You do need to file with the zoning board. You do need to provide a plan. But the alternative is that, you know, people are going up and they're just going to throw a picture of their spare bedroom on the internet through Airbnb or some other like internet site. People are going to come in. We have transient people coming in and out of neighborhoods. Not that there could be a problem with any of them, but there could be. And where I sit, Town of Wakefield has an obligation to ensure that our citizens, our neighbors of this venture are protected, as are people that are coming in to partake in a Airbnb that's in Wakefield. And with that comes certain amounts of regulations. And we're not saying we're trying to stifle this, but there should be things like the fire chief should have a chance to weigh in and say, you know what, there needs to be fire extinguishers in the house to have this. There needs to be lights in the hallway. You know, it could be a plug-in light because people who are transient, they're confused. They don't know the house. Something happened. The police need to be aware that, hey, you know, Smith Street has a Airbnb and the apartment is in the basement. If you get a 911 call from there, they need to be aware what's going on. You know, there's a lot more than just saying, hey, let's just put this thing out here and let's take advantage and, you know, the town hall people are trying to stifle business. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to protect the neighborhood while wrapping our arms around a new business that's been, you know, fairly successful in other areas. And, you know, I want to be part of that. I want these people to go downtown. I want them to shop. I want them to go to our restaurants. But, Anthony, you had a great point. If someone's going to rent out to a bunch of young guys like you and Adam, and you're going to go out in Taiwan on and come back, and at 2 in the morning the neighborhood is awakened by, you know, a bunch of, you know, drunkards, is that fair to them? And the answer is no. So I think there does need to be a review.
No, I guess that's your point. I mean, and Adam, I hope you don't mind me embarrassing us in front of a bunch of people who surprisingly do listen. I'm always shocked. I actually had somebody the other day say, hey, I listened to your podcast. And I was like, oh, really? But, you know, we for my bachelor party, two or three months ago, we rented a small house, and we hung out, and we came home late, and, you know, we almost, it was in New Hampshire, so this was legal, we almost lit off a ton of fireworks in the middle of the night. We thought better of it and didn't, but I can't imagine that happening every day. At least we were in a place that was touristy, that every
right.
house we were next to was a vacation home. And it was almost created that way. So this idea, I don't think government, you know, maybe my liberal tendencies are coming out here. I don't think government, for the most part, especially in this situation, is trying to stifle any type of economic development. But I think what you're trying to do is steer it. Because if an Airbnb wants to be, you know, on Main Street, next to the lake, next to our restaurants, that makes perfect sense. But if an Airbnb, and I'm going to pick on me and Adam's parents' neighborhood, if they want to open on Melvin Street or McKenzie Lane, you know, where it is a huge residential neighborhood where people have spent a lot of money to know their neighbors, to live there, you know, to be in peace and quiet. I don't think that's fair. That's not, you know, it would be like moving to, you know, that's why we have zoning. I mean, you don't want to buy a house and
right.
you have a factory open right next to you. What would you say to the critics, and I don't, to this, the argument that, oh, well, the bylaw's not elaborate enough and it's going to be enforced in a variety of different ways, and you know you can't be sure how it's going to work. So therefore, we should just throw it out completely.
Okay. Well. Here's what the bylaw says. The bylaw says that, we're suggesting, is that if you know, because right now it is my opinion, town council's opinion, building inspector's opinion, town planner's opinion, that Airbnbs are not allowed at all in the residential districts. It's classified as a hotel. So I think we're realizing that this is a little bit of a different venture, different type of business. So let's classify these, you know, less than 30-day rentals, Airbnbs, and let's allow them in these areas by special permit, which means that, A, and this is what the zoning board will be looking at. They'll answer some threshold questions. And this is for any special permit. We don't have specific items for every special permit. because you can't, because every situation is a little bit different. And for instance, one of the requirements is they'll make a finding that the requested use is essential and or desirable to the public convenience or welfare. Okay, I guess maybe it would be desirable maybe to have more, hotel space, if you want to call it. The requested use will not create or add undue traffic congestion or unduly impair pedestrian safety. That may come to the fact, is there room on the lot for off-street parking? How is that neighborhood situated? Is it something that could handle more, people coming in? They'll answer those questions. The use will not overload public systems of water, drainage, sewer, and will not be a health hazard. They need to look at that in every special permit. The use will not impair the integrity or character of the district, nor be detrimental to the public health or welfare. Again, they're going to look at that entire district. If it's very small single-family homes or tightly packed multi-family homes, maybe that's not the best spot for an Airbnb. But maybe a carriage house setback is in a larger neighborhood. The use will not cause an excess of that use and be detrimental to the neighborhood. This is standard for every special permit. And, Anthony, if you were to open your own private law practice in a separate building in a residential area, because we allow those to a certain extent in Wakefield, you can think of where some are, you'd have to go through the same thing for your practice. Why is it any different?
No, I agree, and I would even pick on the point of I don't think, I know John was saying that he thought it would cost a lot of money. I don't think it would. I don't even think you need a lawyer for this. If you have a business plan, you should be able to rely on that. I'm sorry, Steve, what were you saying?
No, I'm saying that I'm going to say when that process happens, special permit happens, you file your application, your business plan. I think the Board of Appeals would want to see some sort of a diagram of the house or a plan of the lot. That application is then sent around to all the departments, okay? So the DPW director, the town engineer can weigh in. The fire chief can weigh in and say, hey, how many bedrooms are they going to have for Airbnb? One. Okay, I'd like to see lighting on the floor here, a plug-in light. And that's for everyone's safety. Let's say the answer is we're going to have six bedrooms that we're going to rent out. Well, now you're getting a little bit larger, a larger business. Guess what? It's going to cost you a little bit more money. You're going to need sprinklers in that because you've gone over a threshold. Okay, so that's part of doing business. You open a law office, Anthony, and you're going to spend a lot of money buying things. It's the same thing. You're going to have to do something to open a business.
No, I agree, and I know we want to get off this, and I want to let I feel bad for talking so much. But I think.
Well, you had poor Adam thrown out of his apartment and sleeping on your couch last show.
I
know, pretty much.
Yeah.
This doesn't affect that.
It certainly doesn't affect that, because at that point in time, Adam would be living with you in what you would call an extended family unit. So of course that's not what this is looking at. And how would we ever enforce that or know about it anyway? Okay.
No, agreed.
Teresa might say you gotta go, but that would be something else.
Yeah, that's a totally. I mean, she would. The other part of it is, but there is a real situation where, in my building, there's a lot of young families and, young couples, and I live in a two-bedroom. If this doesn't go through, I could easily just have an Airbnb be, my next bedroom, and I'm, I would be putting 20 other of my neighbors at risk letting them into that condo building, and it's just not fair.
Right.
For people who invest in Wakefield. The more I think about this, the more I've come out against it. But, all right, so, Adam, I will stop talking. I'm sure you have questions, and I know you want to move on to another article. So,
just so I get my sense on this real quick, Alex, I really didn't get anything real on last episode. Because I was actually more leaning with John throughout most of the episode, but as I've been thinking about it over the last 24 hours... I do more agree now. I lean with you guys in regards to it. I guess the only thing that, for me and in my perspective, If I wanted to start up an Airbnb, which I don't want to, but if I wanted to, the purpose, I guess, that my take is on it is that as a business that I'm trying to create, I feel like the extra step, I understand what it's there for. I don't think it the article itself is the best written in regards to what it's trying to accomplish. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying. But you know, it's very difficult in zoning articles to put anything of specificity, which is what some people are saying. Some people are saying, why don't you limit it to 30 nights a year? Some people mention that. Well, if you're going to get into that business, why would we do that, number one, in my opinion? Number two, how would we ever enforce that? I mean, is the building inspector going to have a calendar in his office and check off every day that you rented it? I think that's kind of crazy myself.
Right.
But you know what? What happens when you go through this special permit process, when you prove all that stuff, you know, we have other items on that are already in the zoning. How many parking spaces on site do you need per bedroom? It's one for a hotel. So you'd have to show, where are these people going to park? I'm going to, you know, so that's kind of already embedded in it. If you set up a system where you had really specific criteria and someone met all of them, it might just be a de facto hearing that they're going to get the Airbnb without any input from the neighborhood because they've met everything. It's not, I mean, I guess I trust the zoning board to do a very good job and vet each of these equally. Artichokes Restaurant came in under a special permit. There was really nothing specific about that. The zoning board worked with them, and look what we came up with, or they
sure
came up with. So I think that you have general guidelines out there and general items that the Board of Appeals looks at, some other areas in the bylaw that talks about some specific items about setbacks and things like that, and they'll work through this. And you know what? If we find after 6 months, a year, that this is business is taken off and we need to modify this, let's modify it. But right now, it's a no, and there's no review.
And I just want to go in on this point, too, because, you know, I have friends who will tell me, well, you know, and this is their opinion, so don't, you know, take it as mine. They'll say, well, I don't trust the ZBA, or I don't trust the town government. Well, we live in a democracy, and those people will not put their name on the ballot. So if you want, it's not like we live in a dictatorship here. You know, it's not like you can't make change. If the ZBA isn't enforcing something you don't like and you strongly disagree with it, you know, you can run for selectman. You can
right
run for school committee. You can get appointed to a board and you can make changes, you know. But to do that, you know, you gotta put your name on the ballot. You got to get in the ring. So
right,
it's not as if once this, like you said, you know, it's not possible to change. You know, if you don't like it, change it. Look at Melrose just now. They just had an override vote that lost. Every elected
right
official was for it. Everybody wanted it. Town people voted it down. It's the joy of democracy. If you don't like it,
well, there was one alderman that was at least one alderman.
Oh yeah,
that
Monica,
was against.
You're right, Monica.
And
sorry,
she took every precinct. So what does that tell you?
She did. Yeah, and she topped
yeah
the ticket. So all right, let's. Do you want to move on, Adam, or?
Yeah, so because obviously we talked about stuff too long and we don't mean to. But so we're not getting on to
$10 a month for more time.
Well, yeah, well, we can always do that, but that'll never happen. But going a little bit further into the articles, I know, I believe it's the next article down, the parking change. I know
yeah
our close friend, he brought it about to change the parking so it's as emergency needed. And there's stipulations that go with that. And now there's been a petition that's gone around. They've collected enough signatures to, without even going through one season of trying it, they're already trying to revert it back. So what's your
right
thoughts on that? What?
Well, A, it kind of gets what Anthony said. If this gentleman didn't like something, right, he didn't like it, he did something about it, got the signatures, and put it on the ballot. So you have a chance to do that, which I think is great about our democracy. So that's great. I would have liked to have seen it try before we did it. I think that, A, we're at a point where we have the technology, we have the way to reach out to people, we have the reverse 911. I do believe in the common sense of the people that live in Wakefield. And it seems to me that for the 120 nights of winter, or 120 nights that we have the ban, that maybe there's 20 nights that you shouldn't be parking on the street because there's plowable snow. Why should all those other nights, why should all those families, especially when kids are home from college, they're stacking cars, they're tandeming them, why not let them park in the street? Towns with much narrower streets than we have the ability to park in the street unless we have a parking ban. And guess what? We've extended the parking ban a number of times. We've extended it in the downtown when we've had to clear that up. We, a couple of years ago, we extended it behind Greenwood School, eliminated parking all day and all night because it was unsafe there because of the narrowness of the road. We have the ability to do that. We did that then. We can do that forward. And the way that we decide the parking, when we have a parking ban, is myself, the DPW director, the police and the police chief and the fire chief, we discuss it, what's happening, and then we extend the ban. We put it on the website. We put it on Facebook. You know, we have a reach on Facebook of 7,500 people now in Wakefield. So you know what? I think that we should keep it the way it is, the way the selectmen made the change. Let's go through the winter knowing that we have the ability to increase the parking ban whenever we feel that we should.
No, I agree with us. You know, and our friend, he's coming on the show tomorrow. You know, on his point, and I think this actually goes back to economic development a lot more than even the Airbnb, because you know, the easy example and the obvious example, and the one probably more correlated with this is college students. You know, you have a young family, or I shouldn't say young families, they have college students, but you have, you know, kids coming home from college, kids who are just becoming drivers, small driveways, and it makes no sense for people to keep moving, shuffling in and out when there's no snow on the ground. But people as well, if you're a young person and you have roommates, and, you know, and their significant others are staying over, you have a few cars, again, it makes no sense that they're not going to stay in Wakefield. They're going to bring their money, their time, their energy to another town that doesn't have a parking ban, because they're going to say, why should we spend the night at the boyfriend's house if it's going to be a struggle to park, when it makes absolutely no sense for there to be a struggle because there's no snow on the ground. So in general, I agree with you. I will say, what do you make of the argument that people say that it's a safety issue, that, you know, without the, you know, it's the streets are just too narrow. I mean, I think your answer is going to be something along the lines, yeah, and I could be wrong, of, well, then, you know, if we have huge snow banks, we can keep the snow emergency in place until the police chief or whoever feels it is safe.
Right.
But no, what do you say to that, people?
I say that. And also, is it a safety issue on November 29th when there's no parking ban? I mean, arbitrarily picking a date. I mean, I get you got to pick something, but we might not have, and I'm hoping we don't have a speck of snow, except for an inch on December 24th, and that's it. So from December 1st to December 24th, there's no, people can't park in front of the house. I mean,
no,
you know, and when we, in areas where we do see that there are safety areas, they're there all year round. And we do have areas where we limit parking, you know, during times that we think is unsafe. So, you know, I think that we try to hit that. So, I mean, I think that's the way to handle it.
No, I'm right there with you on this. I think this is one of the more common sense resolutions over the scope of things. So, we'll
and
see.
I thought
Adam,
it was,
sorry.
And it depends. And maybe there's certain streets that we should have a parking ban all the time after dark. I get that. But what really was to me was very amusing about this whole thing is how somehow this parking change got all wrapped in a big conspiracy theory that it was all to help out Brightview. It had nothing to do with Brightview. It was a group of citizens that you guys know that precipitated it on their own. So it was like, really?
No, I still have the text from, I remember Matt, God, I forget what we were doing. I remember Matt texting me saying,
you sent
hey,
him in to see me.
I know. We actually met with him at his office. It was at your office.
Yeah.
So it's, It's true. I mean, it really was just a group of residents who were wrapped up. Adam, do you want to jump in on this? I know there were, I think Articles 11 and 12 are the other two. I don't want to use the word controversial, but the other two that are getting discussion are.
I'd have to go specifically to them. But they kind of seem, and tell me if I'm wrong, Steve, but the way I read them briefly, it seems like they're kind of related to Article 9 in some regulation to that aspect and just changing the special permitting around on that. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that is probably in a general sense accurate. Article 11, which let's call it the open space bylaw, it's changing really how filings are handled for subdivisions. Apparently, I think Town Council Mullen will probably say at town meeting, our current bylaw in this regard has been ruled illegal in a court case. So we'd like to change it to make it legal before we get sued. And it also will help. It also will help the developer with an easier application package. So that one is. I think that's probably part and parcel on that one. The other one, Article 12, which really is, again, it's kind of a change in our existing bylaw to hopefully steer or spur more of that mixed-use development within, I think it's 2,500 feet of the train station. You know, thought is we're a more walkable young community. Let's have more density in the downtown area. Which will invite more developers, and which will hopefully lead to this mixed-use development that the master plan has been vetted through, has worked on, and really says that this is what we should be doing to promote our downtown. Mixed development, again, retail on the bottom, you know, living up top. It's kind of what Somerville's going through, and if you've been with what's that square that you young guys go to in Somerville, Porter Square? That's fabulous with all the restaurants and everything. And,
yep.
You know, it's what they're trying to do, the same thing. So,
no,
and hopefully
Salem
these people will take
public too.
Transportation.
No, I mean, that's true. I mean, I got to tell you how many times, you know, even so me and Teresa aren't looking for a house, but sometimes we just casually look, and every time I look, it's, you know, it's my accessibility into Boston is a huge, huge factor.
Right.
I don't work in Boston right now, but, you know, I want to know that I still have the option without it being a pain. So, yeah, the commuter rail and the bus line and the train are just our obvious strengths. So if we can build around that, that would make sense to me. I'm curious. I mean, so how does – and this is outside the scope of the bylaw, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are. How do you actually get the developers in, though? You know, so say you change the zoning and you've done that. Like, how do you – because I don't – I guess I'm thinking of the 2,500 feet around the railroad. And I don't know where there's land to actually build that. Like, so how does it, like, work,
well,
like, after?
It's going to be reuse of some existing buildings.
Yeah.
Right. Or existing sites. And there actually are a couple in the works right now. The old L.B. Evans site has already filed with the Board of Appeals going forward with this type of development. But what my plan is to do, and we're also working with a consultant to really look at the demographics in a circle around our downtown area, is I want to get that out there on mass business and say, hey, we're open for business. You come within a five-minute circle of downtown Wakefield, you've got $1 billion worth of disposable income. Come here. Let's work with you and see what we can do. So that's the kind of tack that we're taking. It's hard to get developers in, but you know what? We know enough of them to go out and try to spread the word, and we'll do that.
So,
no,
Steve, real quick, for Monday night, because we only have like 30 seconds, what's your over-under, 3 hours?
Oh, Monday night? I would like to get through the first 10 articles Monday night if we can. I think that'll be easily 3 hours. Easily three plus.
I think we're going to fly
all the way through to Article 9, and we'll get bogged down in Airbnbs.
There we go. That ought to be a blast. Well,
so, do I have time for a question or no?
No. So thank you for joining us. It's going to cut out. Again, really appreciate every time you come on. For if this is still recording, blogtalkradio.com/the_AP_course. You can also follow us on Twitter @the_AP_course or Facebook, the AP course. Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll bring another show tomorrow. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.